This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Mike Shope.
You might be mocking me or you might be staunchly agreeing with me. I can't tell.
I'm mocking you.
And the Bulldog.
What is Fozzie Bear's role in this production?
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Well, not that you care, but last time the Bills played on a Monday night, it was Tuesday. The next day was Tuesday. And
that's usually how weeks work.
Yes, usually. And I, you know, I wasn't thinking we would do reverse AFC power rankings. We didn't push them to Wednesday. Tuesday, I sort of like, I get a jolt of energy, a little bit more relaxed during the day. One less thing that I have to, you know, figure out with you. We're just going to roll out the power rankings and be on our way. The Wednesday, that was beautiful because I never even remembered it that week. Oh. Then I get here like, oh yeah,
Right. It's a gift.
It is a gift.
It's a gift
or
a gift.
And I would say this week has been different though. Today I've been maybe a little bit lax because all day I've been like, oh, we got the power rankings.
Yeah.
I stopped short of like actually preparing anything for them. Just, you know, what do I want to do? What do I want my voice to serve for here in this power rankings effort? I didn't go that far, but I just have been. And there's a hockey game, too. Just sort of a little bit casual here today. We might play Brandon Bean. We've got Sal.
Casual Wednesday. I've never really heard that phrasing, but, you know, whatever.
I'm putting myself out there.
I find it interesting that whatever. We covered this three weeks ago when they played on Monday night last. Like I feel like the show edict has been we don't do the reverse AFC power rankings on a Tuesday if the Bills play on Monday night. So a few weeks ago when you wanted to do that or thought we were going to do that, it kind of blew my mind. Like I think it's just how different, you know, we approach things. I feel like schedule type stuff, that's my department. I'm good with that. Like I don't think we've ever done them after the day after a game. Like, it's just the game. Nobody wants to hear. Oh, I don't know. Maybe, but like I don't feel like I want to have people hearing me talking about the New England Patriots at 3 o'clock on a Tuesday after a Monday Night Football game when the Bills played Jacksonville. Like, that just doesn't really work. It's not optimal in my opinion, and I think we've always sort of known that. Maybe we never really even said it. It was just sort of obvious. Like we're not opening the show today, a day after a game, with the power rankings. So anyway, today's the same as any other day to me. Is all I'm really getting
Tuesday, almost any other Tuesday.
Sure.
Okay.
Except it's one day closer to the weekend than a Tuesday would be.
That's right. That's so right. Nailed it.
Again, just in case you're wondering how time and works. Days of the week
yes.
work.
Yes.
At least over here at WGR Sports Radio 550, that's how we do it.
Well, let's go. Reverse AFC Power Rankings powered by Empire Electric, your residential neighborhood electrician. Visit EmpireElectricians.com.
Wait, so we're doing this today?
Now we are.
I don't know what the heck to do at the top here.
Oh, it's easy.
Yeah?
All right. Cleveland is buried.
Okay. Fine. I mean, there's, I think, three or four, maybe not that many, two or three, I think I want teams that I think you could make a reasonable case for. Cleveland is definitely one of them. So I shouldn't say I don't know what I, what I really should have said was do whatever you want to start here, because I don't, you know, Cleveland, yes, I think Cleveland with Watson and now trading Cooper, they, yeah, buried is a good way to look at them.
Except it's the top, not the bottom, so whatever the opposite of buried is. But yes, there are four, what you're saying, there's 4 1-win teams in the AFC. I mean, I think New England, it's promising. Let's see what happens. They've got their quarterback. Let's see what happens. At least they've done that. Tennessee, less so.
The defense is good, so I wouldn't want to. And they're playing the Bills this week, so for karmic reasons, maybe I wouldn't want to like stump for them being at the top of this. Jacksonville was the one really to me. Like it, my opinion is, for what it's worth, which is not a whole lot, probably is that if they were if they weren't in England for a second consecutive week, Doug Peterson would have been fired already. That's what I think is happening there. Like, the guys on that team must feel like they are just in a holding pattern because they're in England. So, like, that's not a good place to be. But the Browns are similar enough. I mean, or really maybe worse off. Both are committed to quarterbacks who aren't playing great. Lawrence has been way better than Watson, but that only has him, I don't know, where's he? In the middle of the pack, maybe?
I think it's a little better. There's more of a chance Lawrence emerges, escapes from whatever the problem is. They'll make the coaching change.
Yeah.
The Browns are going to make a coaching change eventually. Maybe it will be after the season. Maybe it'll be before that. But I don't know. Like, that what I think they, will happen.
What are they going to do with Watson, though? Like,
is it, so far, they're not going to do anything.
Is a new coach going to come in and be saddled with that? That seems fun.
If it's right to think that their coach, Kevin Stefanski, is hamstrung, like, he's not allowed to take Watson out, once in a while, I mean, at one point, at least, his thoughts would turn to, like, oh, my God, and what about next year? Am I going to be able to do it next year, or am I going to still be sitting here? Just let me out.
Right.
But that would be just really depressing, you know? The responsibility you would feel to the rest of the players.
Man, I wonder. Like, that's so tangled up. It would be tangled up for me, I think. I would probably get lost in the weeds trying to justify how I feel about it, what's best for me. I have a responsibility to these guys and their families and all that kind of stuff. But honestly, wouldn't it be most ideal for Stefanski to get fired as soon as possible there and get as far away from the stink? Like, he's been the coach of the year twice. He's got a good reputation. This is killing him, that he has to keep standing in front of microphones week over week while Watson is playing worse than any quarterback in 30 years and say, he's our guy. It's killing him. Like, he'd be better off not having a job right now and then getting into the hiring cycle in February.
Well, there's a lot of money at stake, and I think in the kind of circles the league works in, he'll look good for standing there and doing that.
Okay. That's good.
That appears to be his choice.
Yeah.
Cleveland?
Yes, fine.
15.
I'll go Jacksonville here.
Me too. 14. Raiders.
I was going to say Raiders.
Yeah, you can. You should.
I did.
You still should.
I did.
You did?
I was going to suggest Raiders before you said Raiders. Because, you know, we talked about Tennessee a little bit. We talked about New England a little bit. The Raiders aren't a one-win team, but they're... Come on. But, you know, Brady, part owner now.
Oh, whatever.
Going to help pick the quarterback.
Did you see the details on, like, what he can't participate in now?
Yes.
As a broadcaster? I mean,
just what you need. Just what you want as a fan.
How good is he supposed to be at the job? I thought he'd be really good. I have not been impressed at all. My prediction was he'll be good, and it will drive me crazy, and maybe all of us crazy if he's really good at this. And realizing that's, you know, each person's sole opinion sitting down to watch football, this has been nothing that has really stood out to me. It's just, to me, another voice that's out there in the wilderness talking about the 3rd and 4 play call choice. But to not be able to go, he can't go to other teams' facilities to visit with the players, All those meetings we always talk. Anytime we talk to these guys, even Sal's been in these meetings. You know, Al Michaels, whatever. Any Ross Tucker, right? Sure, a lot of it's just spin that you're getting, like, oh, we like this guy because of this, and then you can regurgitate that in your own words and sound like you had an original thought, when really the coach probably planted it on you and he's got an agenda. But anyway, still, it's a part of the job. Like, get involved, get intimate as you can get with these people, and he's not allowed to do any of that. Nor can he criticize officiating, which I know guys almost never do anyway. But at least Aikman on Monday night was like, I understand what you're telling me to the rules guy. It's a new name. It's not John Perry anymore because he's working for the Bills. But, you know, guy explained, it was the Epinesa penalty, I think. The guy explained, well, you know, body weight and whatever. And Aikman said, yeah, no, I understand what you're saying. I just don't agree with it. Which is, you know, that's bold, I think, for one of those dudes.
I think it's interesting to consider what qualifies as being critical, too. I mean, you too, I'm sure, over the years. I've had plenty of times where, like, really? They're upset about that?
Yeah.
You know, right. Because, mm-hmm. like, if there's a bad call on roughing the passer in his next game, and he just goes, what? Is that criticizing the officials?
Right.
Does he have a meeting every time? Plus, he's Brady. He'd outrank anybody he met with. Anybody else can sit in that meeting and take notes and give them to him. But that he can't be, like, real on the... Well, I never thought he would be. But that any of these guys... Of course, there are going to be limits. They all want to keep the job. I mean, it's how many easier jobs are there in the world? So you want to keep the job. You're not going to just let loose. But, like, these kind of limitations, it's just a bad look. Because you want to think whoever's in the booth is going to be honest with you. And... when Tom Brady is announcing, you know that that's not going to be true.
Right.
It's not going to be the case.
He's got a vested interest in the fortunes of one organization, which is basically like having a vested interest in all the organizations. He's a part of ownership now.
That's right.
He's on that side of that equation. And, yeah, sure, we all know how sanitized everything is. But this is, like, blatantly just telling you it's going to be sanitized, which they usually try to avoid. You know, like, oh, no, our guys, they're independent. Okay, sure.
13.
Where were we? Okay, sorry about that. Sidebar. I'm
Tennessee.
Brady. I'm good with Tennessee.
12. New England?
I'm going to have to go New England now. Yeah.
Okay. It's not like they're good.
No. No, I am, you know, May has been, it's interesting, it's exciting, still a long way from being made, but it's, you know, at least they're doing the right thing now. He's playing. This idea of hiding because the line was going to be bad, I get it, but geez, just get out there. Take some lumps, figure it out.
11.
Indianapolis. Although it does sound like Joe Flacco, that run might be done with Richardson practicing this week.
Right.
Which may not be good for them in the short term.
Yeah, that's what I was maybe going to suggest. Yeah, I mean, I would play Richardson too. But I don't, you know, they're probably not going to get as good a production from the quarterback position as they would if Flacco were playing. So that has to decrease their opportunities to win, you'd think. You know, unless Richardson starts... smashing all of a sudden, which, you know, could happen. He's got a lot of talent. I could go Indy here. Sure.
10.
I want to say the Jets.
I was going to go Pittsburgh.
Miami.
Hmm.
Classic impasse.
Let me open the door.
We don't know.
Anybody else out there? We need another vote.
No.
Tua coming back. That doesn't have a date on it yet, right? McDaniel did say, like, he'll play this year, but never set a game. And without him, they are in a really, really bad spot. I'll switch to Miami.
Okay. There it is.
9.
Back on Pittsburgh.
By law, yeah, I guess I have to be on the Jets. Who do you like, Jets or Pittsburgh? pressure one of us to change our pick again.
Do it again.
There are at least two AFC West teams that are in the same ballpark here, I think. Steelers. 8. Jets, okay. I mean, every week it's the same. It's the same take.
I know.
They probably should have won Monday night. You know, like they probably should have won that game with the field goals he missed from 30. Zerline.
Yeah, that guy missed some too.
I know. Outgained the Bills. You know, like just. I think they probably should have won the game. It was close. So I mean, now it's Adams. They're 2-4, but there's definitely light at the end of that tunnel for them. It's just a matter of, are they good enough? Is there enough time to get where they, to get to the playoffs? Really, that's the whole point. So I still think they're to be respected.
I will soften on them as soon as I see Rodgers play 2 good games in a row. It just has not happened yet. I don't know that he's physically capable of it. And they've got, you know, TJ Watt and the Steelers this week. So if they come through that and he plays a second good, because he was good. I mean, I know he threw an interception at the end, but he had a good night. And by my eyes, that's the second out of 6 that he's been good, like at a level that could push them to being a playoff team. And 2 out of 6 ain't going to get it done. So if he can back up what he did Monday night with another strong performance on Sunday night, maybe even win or lose, but 2-5 is going to be hard at some point to dig out of that.
Yep.
I'm open to being wrong about it. I mean, I said once a long time ago, I'm open to be wrong about everything. I'm always trying to learn. You never know. You can get dug in and realize, you know what? I shouldn't have started digging here. This is not the place I should be standing. But for now, I still think the Jets are not going to get there. Which is really the same speech I also give every week.
Yes. 7. Denver.
Sure. Okay.
At New Orleans tomorrow night. Is that one you can skip? Is that one where you want to, you know?
That's one where, depending on how the hockey game looks, because the Sabres are in Columbus tomorrow night, right? Pittsburgh.
Is that
tonight,
one you can skip?
I will put my time in with the Sabres, and depending on what the football game looks like when that ends, dip in and out during, you know, intermissions or whatever. I wouldn't say I will ignore the football game, but it's got to be good by the time the hockey game ends. Otherwise, it's not going to keep me.
I'm not sure the odds are great there. 6.
Are the Chargers still available? Yes. Yeah, mm-hmm. Then they have, I can't believe they're 6, actually.
At Arizona Monday night, 3-2. What's that line going to be? Could they be favored on the road? Have they been impressive at all? Could they be favored there?
They are favored by 2.5.
At the Cardinals?
Yes.
Yeah, I got 3. You're right. Wow. All right, Chargers at 6-5.
Cincinnati?
Yep.
Oh, sure. Yeah, there they are.
Same as last week.
Yeah.
4?
I'll
Bills.
Say Bills. Yeah.
Same as last week. 3.
Texans.
Same as last week. 2.
Ravens.
Kansas City.
Ah!
I can't until they lose. I'm a college football voter. I cannot move you down until you lose a game. I'm sorry. I just won't.
I'm with you. I appreciate the effort.
I just
appreciate you throwing yourself on that one, but yeah, I'm Baltimore, Kansas City. I'm Kansas City. You know, they didn't pile up points. They were on the bye this past week, but by their last outing, they moved the ball like crazy in that game. I think that's the best they've looked going back into last year, even
Chiefs
on offense. Yeah.
Right, against New Orleans. They are at San Francisco on Sunday, and they are an underdog. in that game. Niners are favored by 1.5.
Mahomes getting points, everybody.
Yep. Remember a Chiefs-Niners game, not the Super Bowl, but a game in San Francisco last year or the year before where the Chiefs just destroyed them?
I don't remember that. I believe you, though.
It did happen.
I'm willing to take your word for it.
It did happen. All right, reverse AFC power rankings on WGR, powered by Empire Electric, your residential neighborhood electrician. Visit EmpireElectricians.com. Did not appear that either Davante Adams or Amari Cooper meant very much here today in these rankings. At no point did I think, like, but I guess with the Jets a little bit.
Right, but you're almost always there anyway. So you
right,
and it's not going to move it for me because I still think it comes down to the quarterback, and you know I recognize he's going to have a chemistry with this guy, and that's maybe been a big hang up. But I'm just going to need to see it first. I can't get behind that he's going to put the ball everywhere it needs to be put, and get out of the way enough to not get hurt. So I'm still biding my time on that, but. Yeah, I think, you know, it's, I mean, let's see what it all looks like. You know, I mean, I'm excited about Cooper being on the Bills, and I think he should have a positive impact, even if it's just, you know, other teams initially respecting him being out there, and maybe that softens a little up for Kincaid or Shakir or whatever. Everyone just gets pushed down a notch. I got, you know, maybe better matchups if teams are still going to try to push the man-to-man idea on them. I wonder how much Cooper changes that for teams tactically, you know, going in to play the Bills. Because teams have had, you know, a decent amount of success just manning up and saying, you're not going to beat me.
I feel like this Bills season, I'm on a flight where I knew, like, you're leaving Fort Lauderdale and there are tropical storms in the area. It's safe to fly, but it's not going to be fun for the first, like, half an hour. The pilot might even have to take it all the way over around into the ocean, you know, and go around the weather. And so for the first part, it's going to be rough, and then, you know, you're going to be okay. And that's, I think, this.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Season right now. Is, I mean, really, of course, we're in here every day talking about everything that happens with them, and a lot of it has been negative. Injuries, wide receivers who can't separate. Where's the wide receiver one? Everybody starves, you know, just all the different things, the schedule, night games and road games, division games. And at 4-2, I think they just cleared that weather. I think, I mean, who knows? Every week can surprise you, but that, for me, is a very good result for them. 4-2 through these six games with the adversity, if you will, that they've had. So there's that. And then now you put the Cooper trade into it, and it's even more exciting and I think even more reason for optimism. I don't have any holes to poke in that trade. You know, like he's maybe not a perfect player. He's 30 years old. You can say, you can find stuff. You can find the ESPN open score and blame him for drops, whatever. I mean, there are going to be people who point to those things. But I don't think I could have imagined the Bills doing much better here before it starts than this guy for that price at this time.
Mm-hmm.
Even more time to acclimate and get them to a point where it's what they need when it matters, which is not week 7.
Yeah, you know, maybe that. I don't think that. I'm glad you said that that way because, you know, I know I was in here, right? Like, oh, Davante Adams, that's going to be the deadline. Like, nobody's gonna meet that price. Maybe if the Jets win on Monday night, they don't meet that price right now. You know, we'll wait and see. Maybe we can keep getting by. I don't want to have to give up, you know, potentially a second, even a third, whatever. And I don't know, like, Bean already today said, I think maybe we'll hear it here in a little while, that, you know, the Jets doing what they did didn't impact. Like, they didn't go make that trade at that time because the Jets did it. But bottom line is, he's here before November 5th, which is good. I mean, there's three games between now and November 5th, right? So let's go. Get him going as soon as you can.
Maybe it wasn't why they did it then. That it wasn't because of the Jets trade, but like I said yesterday, the Jets set the market for them. And so the Bills didn't have to take that leap. And I think you might be right that the Jet loss was the final impetus for them making the deal. Because how many more games can they afford to lose?
Right.
So Monday morning, or I guess Tuesday morning, sorry, back to my confusion over the days of the week. Tuesday morning, they make the trade. We can't wait another day. He's got to be here. We assume he's healthy. You know, you're probably right on that all along, that he wasn't really hurt.
Right.
And we got to get him on the field Sunday night at Pittsburgh to help us try to save our season. 803-0550. We want to hear from you on the Cooper trade and just how you think the Bills stand here after six games. We will, as Bulldog mentioned, share the comments made by the GM, Brandon Bean. One thing we talked about yesterday and off and on through this whole time is just how he's really felt about what they have been at wide receiver. That's interesting to think about. We'll talk to Sal later as well. We've got the Sabres tonight in Pittsburgh. Paul Hamilton will join us from Pittsburgh for pregame at 6. Mike Schopen and the Bulldog here, 803-0550 to call in. This is WGR.
Again, yeah, I think you have to manage them regardless of Sunday or beyond. You know, I like the fact that we've got it done when we did, as it relates to, you know, every year the trade deadline is X, and this year we were able to get it done weeks before, which is good. And I know that every year presents different challenges with things like that. You know, again, we'll see how we goes this week, and we'll see how we go. And again, it's never about one person or one player. It's about the team, and I thought we were in a good rhythm the other night on offense and continuing with that rhythm.
Sean McDermott today, Brandon Bean spoke as well. We plan to air his comments later this afternoon. Sal Capaccio will join us at 5 today. Tomorrow, Joe Ostrowski and Sal again. Friday, we've got a Titans guest, Sammy P, as well. Hockey games tonight and tomorrow. Picks. Fresh picks.
It's on. It's all on.
Fantasy.
Yeah.
Drake May or Mahomes this week? New England has Jacksonville in London, Kansas City at the Niners. I know. Or Darnold, if you want, against Detroit.
You know what? I would play Mahomes.
Take the rest of the week.
I would play Mahomes, I think. I'm not ready to count on the rookie, even though they're playing Jacksonville. You mentioned it, right? They did a number on the 49ers. You know, it was a different team. I'm, you know, pretty sure of that. But I think they're finding it, Kansas City. So I even though that's a tough, San Francisco's been a little weird this year.
You just would feel like such a fool,
right?
For sitting Mahomes for Drake May, and then
I am putting Darnold in for Rodgers this week. Detroit's a tough matchup, but they just lost their best defensive player, Detroit. And I would expect Minnesota's defense to, you know, mess with Detroit a little bit. So I'm expecting maybe a tight game there. And I don't know, Rodgers has got TJ Watt, and I'm not ready to buy him playing two good games in a row.
That's a great matchup. I was looking at the Sunday night schedule. So the Steelers are home to the Jets Sunday night. They are home to the Giants next Monday night. Get to know Acrisure Stadium, everybody. Mm-hmm. And they just played on a Sunday night against Dallas at home also. So three night home games in very short span. Week 9, Sunday night is Jacksonville at Philadelphia.
Oh, that's...
Do we have to get that out of there?
Yeah, that's probably going to have to get out of there.
The best game in the afternoon is Detroit-Green Bay. That's way better. Yeah. Right? These AFC, these NFC North games are just so good
yeah.
right now.
Yeah.
So
there was some flex action already this week, not for primetime, but a 1 o'clock and a 4 o'clock swapped spots week after next, maybe. I saw the tweet yesterday, the day before. Like that, so that's happening. Somebody wanted the for their doubleheader national game a different game than they had scheduled originally.
Well, I might want to predict Jacksonville, Philadelphia. It would be like early next week when they were when they yeah. would do that. Philadelphia is not so bad, but Jacksonville really want to do that to America?
Yeah, no.
These complicated times.
Doug Peterson revenge game.
If he's even there.
If he's even there, right.
Yeah, maybe they find out. Is he going to be there? Because if he's not, we're just going to move on. Let's go to Nathan on WGR. Hello, Nathan.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
So, yeah. So, first of all, shout out to Warren, PA. That's where I grew up. I'm a North Jersey transplant. I was at the game on Monday night and here in the Meadowlands.
Mm-hmm.
And the second we got to the parking lot, we could not keep anything on the tables for the tailgate. The wind was howling. Forget about any sense of having a civilized tailgate at all. I knew the second I got to that parking lot that field goals were going to be mm-hmm. not happening that Monday night. You just knew that even something like an extra point was going to be difficult. And so, you know, Monday night comes and goes, and we see Tyler Bass, he misses an extra point. He misses a field goal. But the guy on the other side, you know, we can't forget, his nickname is Legatron, and he misses two field goals. So, you know, I'm driving to work on Tuesday morning, and I'm listening to this channel on the app, and even the guys in the morning were kind of getting on Tyler Bass's case about mm-hmm. missing field goals. And, you know, I feel it too. I grew up in the 80s and 90s. I was 13 years old when Scotty missed that kick in Super Bowl 25, and my heart is still broken. And when Tyler missed it last season, you know, it was like I told my kids, this is where you earn your Buffalo Bills scars. But, you know, to suggest that the sky is falling and
I hear you. I think Monday night was a tough night to kick the football. Couple of things. My observations would be the conversation around Bass really goes back to the missed kick against Kansas City and an uneven spring and summer. Like that was well chronicled. Like they went into the season with, I think, organizationally more concern about kicker than they've had since this guy's been here. And I think, you know, they're bringing in kickers. Like, so they would know it was tough on kickers, conditions-wise, on Monday night. But they're working out the former UB guy. They're working out this squatty dude from Missouri who nailed a 60-yard game winner or something last year. So they're doing their work. So they're not using the wind as an excuse there. And I don't think you should either. And furthermore, the second part of this is the missed extra point he had earlier this year where he just mishit it. That is what the missed extra point on Monday night looked like, too. Like, I know the conditions were bad and all that, but it looked like that was a pole shank, like just a iron shot you hit off the hosel playing at your Muni. And that just can't happen. Like, I don't think the wind was the problem on the missed extra point. I think he mishit it. And that's happened twice this year, and it shouldn't. It just shouldn't. So I fully support them exploring ideas.
Which they are. Right.
And if they find an idea they like, I'd be in support of them pivoting to it. It's risky because once you start down that road, sometimes you end up with a guy that ends up being worse than what you had. And you've made a bigger problem than what you had. But you can also strike gold. So they can't just sit here and do nothing.
I think he's a goner, honestly.
As soon as they find the right guy.
Sean McDermott is so careful to praise, you know, everybody in almost every situation. They literally traded for Amari Cooper yesterday, and his first words after the trade when asked about it were, I just want to say I have tons of admiration and respect for the guys we have. Like, who would even think to say that? He tries so hard to make sure you know that his heart is, like, there. He's protective of his guys in almost every situation. He did not do that with Bass, and neither did Bean today. They're both like, yeah, he knows he has to be better.
Right, he's got to make the kicks. Yep.
Yeah, they both sounded like they knew he was already gone. which he officially isn't, because you said like they're in the middle of tryouts. They just did tryouts
a couple of weeks ago.
They were kind of ready to do it then. And there's a cap penalty here if they do make the move. If it happens that he's cut for a different kicker, which you would expect probably. So I don't know. I almost don't even care how windy it was. They made field goals in that game too, but I think the Bills are signaling that they're there now. We'll see. Thanks for the call. Let's go to Nate next. Hi, Nate.
Hi there. I just calling in for the thoughts on the Cooper trade.
Good.
Personally, I love it. I never really understood the philosophy of trying to pound the ball on the run. Like, I have Josh Allen. I was listening to the game on Monday, and I forget who on the broadcast it was, and saying, like, oh, the Bills have running it more than 50% of the time. And I was thinking back to the Hard Knocks versus for the Giants, and, you know, their front office saying, you know, why am I paying my running back all this money if I have this quarterback that I'm also paying a lot of money to hand the ball off. And I'm thinking to myself, well, I have Josh Allen, and I'm going to pay him probably next season for a new contract that's going to reset the market, and I'm handing the ball off more than 50% of the time. I just wish it's more – run game should be more of a complement to us, not our primary tack. And I think Cooper allows us to kind of retrend more towards passing and having that threat to put up points quicker and more effectively than relying on the run game. Hang up and listen. Thanks, guys.
I agree 100%. I agree with every word of that. Yeah. I mean, of course, lean into Allen. That's what's made this entire summer and fall so questionable, is like, are they really not going to do that? And that's still the question I have for being top of the list, is did you always kind of think maybe, you know, wink, wink, there would be a trade? If it wasn't obvious that you were fine, this is the move you make. Even if they had been more productive in the passing game, I think this is the move you make. So, I mean, it's always fluid. You can have injuries. Somebody like Coleman can just come out of the chute and he's unstoppable. You know, more like Brian Thomas or Neighbors, you know, that can happen. And then, like, you know what? We really don't need to make this trade. We thought we might need to, but we really don't. But overall, the odds kind of pointed to the reality that they would need to make a move to add somebody. And the season that it's been, even though they're 4-2, I think sort of further that.
Yep. I'm not as worried about them leaning run. I will see as the season extends here whether they still end up, you know, over 50%. You maybe can tell by the way I'm phrasing this that I'll be surprised if that ends up happening once we get, you know, further into the season. But we are 6 games in, so it's not like an entirely small sample either. It's like a medium sample. I think different types of games will dictate different tactics, and we'll just see how it all unfolds. The bottom line, though, is whether you want to lean into your run game because of the way defenses are playing you, this is how we were talking certainly as the season began, the league-wide trends, passing numbers so far down. I think that's starting to loosen up a little bit as we've gotten into the season. So I'm going to anticipate that the Bills will sort of get with that club, but as much as you may want to lean into the run game, you still got to have guys that can win outside. And the Bills simply did not have that guy. And to me, there's no denying that if you are honest when you sit down to watch the tape and see what's happening out there, you're just not getting enough there. So go ahead and lean into the run. You still need to have a guy that can, when you need to throw it, or when you want to throw it, and you should want to throw it because of Allen, you're going to have more talent. And they went and got more talent.
Let's get John in next. Hi, John.
Hey, guys. How you doing? Hey, Mike, when you were saying earlier when you were doing the power rankings that, let's hold off maybe putting the Jets at 10 because they probably should have won that game. Did you mean that they should have won that game based on the calls that they got and the Hail Mary? Or, like obviously, like, those were very incredible plays. I mean, the sack on Rodgers that was called 15 yards, and then obviously, you know, it was like a play or two after they had a 40-yard rush gain or something, and they ended up scoring on that drive. And then, of course, the Hail Mary. And then, you know, we are talking about the field goals here. I mean, if each of our kickers make both of their field goals, I mean, Bass misses a field goal and an extra point. And then if the Jets kicker makes both of his, and then the Hail Mary doesn't happen, and the sack on Rodgers just remains a sack as it should have been.
Is there anything else you would consider lucky that you would also like to add to this list of things that what if they were different?
I think
no other penalties.
The Bills were the better team, and I think it's like a 10-point win if we don't have to suffer those that bad call and then the Hail Mary. I think it was obvious the Bills are the stronger team.
Okay, thanks, John. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog. Brandon Bean today. Earlier, spoke with the media. We'll share that. We've got Sal coming up, too. This is WGR. Welcome back. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here. The Sabres are in Pittsburgh tonight and Columbus tomorrow night. We will carry both games.
Oh, how about that?
We're not moving them to the bet or anything like that. We're going to carry both games.
Good deal. Like to hear it.
Pre-game at 6 tonight and tomorrow. Sabres at 1-3 off a win over Florida on Saturday, and the Penguins are 2-2. Do you have a thought on the Penguins?
I would like to whisper that this is a big game.
Must win? Want to go that far? Must win? What kind of momentum can you expect to have tomorrow if you lose tonight? Come on.
Pittsburgh is going to be a team that you're going to be slugging it out with for a wild card spot. If you're even in that position.
So having said that means I'm fully braced for a 3-2 overtime loss.
Okay. Super duper. Yep. Mm-hmm. Hey, at least I got a point. Hey.
That's pretty harsh, but
it is early honest. In the season to be talking like that, but I looked at the standings and the thing I noticed was they've played four games, we've played four games. They're 2-2, we're 1-3. Okay, let's tie them in the standings. Let's go. It's never too early. These games they've lost in October, November, all these many years. Come on, win a couple of them, especially against a team you're going to be slugging it out with.
Would you take an overtime win? Yes.
Sure. Yes.
I would too. Here's Bill next. Hello, Bill.
Yes, hi. I thought I heard most of your show yesterday. And regarding today, I agree with all the great things that Amari Cooper is going to bring to the team. In addition to teaching the existing receivers a few things, I'm sure. But I wanted to ask you, why hasn't Dawson Knox been mentioned more since he did get a touchdown on Monday night?
Mentioned more in what context? Like the game or just the future?
Well, yeah, with regard to targeting, I guess. Why hasn't he seen more passes thrown to him?
Because he hasn't been a good enough player to earn them. I mean, it's one target a game this year. It's three last year. I mean, in spots. But I don't think he's just that important, I guess. That's my speaking only for myself.
Okay, well, that's what I wanted to get your answer about.
I would say he's outranked at the position on his own team. There's a better pass-catching option on this team. The Bills drafted him in the first round last year. So I think it's always going to be a struggle for Knox to be a regular contributor. So, I mean, he made a nice play on the touchdown coming back to Allen like he did. And, you know, caught the ball clean. And so, you know, full credit, he's made plays for them. But he's not, to me, someone who I have to be feeding the ball to. I'd rather they make more of an effort to find ways to get Kincaid off than worry about feeding Dawson Knox myself.
As has been the case for his entire career. You know, it's there once in a while. He's had good touchdown seasons, but never been somebody that commands targets. And in this league, that kind of just works itself out. The best players do. Cooper is one of them. It's always that there are lots of variables, schemes and quarterback talent and offensive line, but The one of the most predictive things, statistics in football in this area is target share. How often does the ball come to you? And Knox has just never been anybody really impactful in that department. And when he scored 9 touchdowns 3 years ago and got a big contract, I mean, there were lots of people who were all for it. But touchdowns are one of the least predictive stats, and earning targets is quite different. 803-0550. Thanks for the call, Bill. We'll look for more of your calls, and also Brandon Bean coming up from earlier next hour here on WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.